Let's open our Bibles to James. James chapter 1. What was the picture of God's Word yesterday? How was it described? God's Word is like fire, like a hammer. Today we have another picture or illustration. What is God's Word like? We'll begin at the 12th verse. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Denise? 13.
And remember, when you are tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else.
But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed.
Then as this desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death.
Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change,
like
shifting shadows.
My dear brother, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry.
For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God.
Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you.
Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says.
For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror.
And after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like.
But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does.
If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless.
Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world.
Thank you. Now we skip verse 18, and that's kind of an important one. So who wants to read that? Who's next?
He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created.
Right. There are a number of things that this passage tells us about the word of God. In verse 18 there it says, he gave us birth through the word of truth. Now we've heard that before. Our brother John spoke about that truth and how the Bible is the word of truth. Maybe just hold your hand in your Bibles and turn over to 1 Peter, just a few pages back. The 23rd verse.
You having been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God.
Keep going. 24.
For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord stands forever.
And this is the word that was preached to you. Okay, so we're born again. This word of God, like that seed, it has life in it. And if we take it into our hearts, if we receive it, it produces new life. You're born again by the Word of God. Now, there are different ways the Bible speaks about being born again. And surely it's a work of God's Spirit touching our spirits. You know, that natural man, our spiritual man, we have the natural and the spiritual. The spiritual man is dead because of sin. The Bible says you're dead. You were dead in sins. But God's Word by His Spirit somehow finds a place in our hearts. Now, can you think of the time when you were born again? Anyone? Can you remember? I know Uncle Tom can tell me when, and I could tell you when, but I doubt if it was apart from the Word of God. Somehow, in some way, this word was spoken to you. Maybe someone was preaching, or someone in your Sunday school was teaching, or maybe you were at home and your parents were speaking. But it had to do with this book. There's no real salvation. There's no being born again apart from God's word. And the Spirit of God takes that word, makes it real to us. And that spiritual man that's dead in sin is somehow brought to life. God's Spirit touches our spirit. And we're born again. We're born from above. We're born anew. And it's by His Word. It says it here. Being born again, He chose to give us birth through the Word of truth. And then if we go down a little further, where else do we see it talk about the Word of God? What's the next verse that speaks about God's Word? Down over. Which verse?
22.
Someone else, just before that. You find it in 21? What do you see in 21? What does it say? Get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly, what? Accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Which can save you. This word that lives and abides forever. Now, I don't really know too much about plants. Maybe Brother Willie can help me. In the King James, it uses the word engrafted. Receive with meekness the engrafted word of God. That's the way I learned it. Now, help me now. When you graft something, have you ever seen this before? Where they take a branch? They could take a branch from another tree and put it into the trunk of another tree. And that branch will produce fruit. Is that right?
It has to be very straight. So we have, you know, we use, I mean, I grafted many trees. So you cut a tree down, you want that, you don't like the apples or things around the tree, you cut it down, or you blame what you want to put on. And so you cut a thing down, but then you have to branches which are some this size and this doesn't matter. But it has to be a straight cut. And then you take the branch, that's a year old branch, or a little twig, maybe about that size level. And you cut it down, it has to be a real smooth, the sharp cut. And it has gets put in there, you open up the bark, open this up, and then you insert that branch in there. And then it gets tight. And then we use wax, so there cannot go any air or any water in it. And it's sealed completely. And then in a little while, you see already the things sprout and come. Then you have, in a couple of years, you have fresh, different fruit than I done before. But it has to be perfect, set in there, it's very tight. There's no air or water can go in there. It has to be sealed completely.
So if that original tree doesn't want to open up or get cut open, it's not going to be able to receive that, that new branch,
to,
right?
There has to be cut off and the new thing, and then it completely fresh branches of new fruit.
Now, how does that supply to the Word of God? Well, that old tree, what did he say? He doesn't like the fruit on the old tree, right? He doesn't like it. So what do? They cut off that old fruit, the old branches, and they put branches of a better fruit, a fruit that we know is good, right? You put that in, and somehow that tree now is able to bear good fruit. And that's the work of the gospel in our hearts. The Word of God, you know, our sinful nature, we can't produce fruits that please God. Our own goodness, the Bible says, is as filthy rags. We can try, but we always miss the mark. This passage talked about sin. You know, I was thinking a little bit about that last night playing basketball. My shots, I think every one of them hit the rim. But it didn't go in. It was almost there, right? It was almost there, Stefan. We almost had it. But we missed the mark. And in our efforts, you know, in our goodness, well, you know, they tell me that growing up, I was always a good boy. You know? Did they tell you that too, John?
Yeah,
you're always a good boy. That's a good boy. But, you know, my own goodness doesn't reach. That doesn't qualify me to get into heaven or to be a child of God. And the fruit that I produce, well, it, you know, I can try to produce good fruit, but in the end, it's not really what pleases God. And so He implants that word in us, engrafts it, that new gospel, you want to say fruit? That as we read God's word, it produces in us something new. Not the old. Something new. Put on the new man. Put off the old. Put on the new. And so I think that's the picture. But this thought of also receiving it with meekness. Remember I gave you that little... I gave you one of these? Did everyone get one of these? Uncle Tom, you have one? Yeah? What is that? Let's just look at that. What does it say on the front there? What did Martin Luther say? Now, I know he didn't say it about the book of James, but but he said this about God's word. Want to read it together?
The Holy Scriptures require a humble reader who shows reverence and fear toward the word of God and constantly says, teach me, teach me, teach me.
Now, do you say that about the Bible? Did you say that when you came in this morning? Or did you say, I hope Brother Phil doesn't talk too long this morning? Or did you say, teach me, teach me, teach me? Hallelujah. And so I think that's what this verse is telling us. Receive with meekness. A meek person is willing to what? To learn. To learn. A meek person doesn't say, I know it all. A meek person doesn't say, you know, I know what's best. No one can tell me what to do. No, a meek person is willing to submit and to say, teach me. There's things that I don't know. I need to learn. And so we ought to come to God's word with that attitude. Lord, help me to be teachable. Speak to me. Show me. And it goes on then, and it speaks about this. More about the Word of God. Brother Tom said verse 22. What does verse 22 tell us about God's Word? Jason.
Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says.
We all understand that? Now, I'm sure all of you are in school or have gone through school. I remember the transition from high school to college. How many of you have finished high school and are in college or you've passed on? And I remember it being so different. You know, in high school, the teacher would write on the board and give out notes. And when I got to college, maybe it's different, and I'm sure every teacher is different, but I had to take my own notes. They talked. They lectured. You go to lecture hall, there's 100 people, and the person just talks. And you have to take notes. And I remember physics lecture. And I think on one of the physics tests, I got a 27. And I passed. it was so bad. The curve was so bad that I passed. I mean, I had to pass a certain number of students because obviously it's the lecturer's fault if we all get 27s. And we don't want to listen that way to God's word. I mean, in a sense that we don't want to just hear it and acquire head knowledge and fill our brains, you know, with When I came out of college after those four, actually 5 years, I was so smart. Right? I had so much knowledge. But you know what? I very little of it was ever useful in my employment. You know? So it's really in the doing. It's in the doing where there's the benefit and the blessing. Same thing in God's Word. Don't merely listen to it. Oh, I know that. Well, are you doing it? Because if you just say, I know it, what does it say? You're deceiving yourselves? It's self-deception? Oh, we think we know. But in God's sight, it's the doing that's important. Let's just quickly turn to John. John 13. Verse 17. Someone read that for us. John 13, 17.
If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them.
Now this was right after Jesus washed his disciples' feet. What a wonderful example that was. The other day I was washing off David and Audrey's feet in the beach. They sat on the dock and I washed their feet. And then my wife came and she sat next to them. And she told me, okay, now you can wash my feet. And then I did, and she said, we're going to have revival. That's right. We have to do it. We have to do it. And so Jesus said that. Okay, now you know it, but now you're blessed. God's favor will rest upon you. You'll be happy if you what? If you do it. You do it. All right, let's finish up in James. We didn't get to the picture yet. What picture does he give us? Why does he use this picture of a mirror? How does he use that illustration? What does he say about the mirror and God's Word? What do you use a mirror for? Did anybody look in the mirror this morning? Anybody? How many? I did. You look in the mirror? I think we probably all looked in the mirror. Now, why did you look in the mirror? Why? Because you wanted to say, wow, look how good I look. I think it's something in girls. I don't know. But I catch my little girl. She's there. She's in the mirror. She's doing all this. And the Lord, she's not listening. She loves the mirror. You know? And other people, if you're in a room with them and they're talking to you and there's a mirror in the room, don't stand in front of the mirror because they will not be looking at you. They're going to be looking at themselves. All right, but why do we look in the mirror? Why? To see yourselves. I had to look in the mirror because some of my hair was standing up. Maybe it still is. When I sleep, it kind of goes up, you know? And I got to get it down. Why do you look in the mirror?
To get my beard off.
Yeah. Get your beard off, yeah? You look intent. It says here you look intently. How many of you look intently? All right, what's the purpose? If I look in the mirror and I see myself and I see that I need to shave, like I do, what should I do? I should shave. If I have some dirt on my face, what should I do? Is that what it says here? Or if I look into God's Word and it shows me something that's not pleasing to God, something that needs to be changed, and I say, well, you know, later. I'll do it later. It says we walk away and we forget. We forget. That's why it's so important. When we read God's Word, to respond to it. Respond at that moment. Why is it we say you should stay and consider what you heard tonight or what you read? Why? Because we're in danger of forgetting what we've read, what we've heard, what God has said to us. And he likens it to if you had a dirty face and you look in the mirror and you say, wow, my face is dirty, and you leave. That's not the purpose. The purpose is to correct the problem, to fix what needs to be fixed. You understand that? I think that's what it's saying. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. And so I think, again, it's the Bible is quite, it just tells us the way it is. That's simple, isn't it? Just do what Jesus says. Do what God says. We had the story of the two builders, the wise and foolish builders, right, in Matthew 7. And we don't have the time to read that yet, but and our brother John spoke about this. What was the difference in the two houses? I think I'd like to believe that the houses looked exactly the same. But what was the difference? You couldn't tell necessarily from the outside. The foundation. You know, if you ever go by a building site, you know, and they put up these big blue fences, these construction fences, and sometimes they're working in that site for months, and you don't see a thing. You say, what's taking them time to build this building? Where's the building? And yet they're laying a foundation. And without that foundation, those buildings would not stand. Our sister Eleanor talked about the tree and how that the roots have to go down. And you don't see that. But that's what causes that tree to stand. That's what causes the building, the foundation. And so the foundation is obedience. Jesus had just finished the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, 6, 7. He gave wonderful teaching for life. He said, if your righteousness doesn't exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, it has to be more than just the outward. It's what's in the heart. But then he ends with this parable. The two houses are built, and one falls and one stands. And what's the difference? One is founded on the rock. And he likens that rock to obedience. It's the one who does what I say, who obeys me, who doesn't just hear, but puts it into practice. I think that's the word it uses. He hears the word and puts them into practice. Now, in the back of these books is a list. I want you just to open it real quickly. We're not going to read them, but it lists the commands of Jesus. You see those? Find this page. It says commands of Jesus.
I did, but not that.
So you're a soldier without your sword, huh?
I have
the. Oh, you have this. Digital Bible. Oh, that's even a secret weapon. Yeah. All right. Here's the commands. Did you get one? Did I give you one? So here are the commands of Jesus. Now, here's your assignment. This is what Jesus says. These are his words. There might be more. But these are things that he said. Now, wouldn't it be good to go down this list at some point and ask ourselves, am I doing what he says? Am I obeying his commands? And maybe as you're going through that list now, I know some of you are reading it now, but I'd like you to do it, you know, prayerfully, when you have some time, maybe alone, and check the ones that maybe you need work on. Or maybe you'll say, I didn't know Jesus said that. You'd be surprised what Jesus said. He was quite radical, and he was quite one for setting a very high standard. And so we want to do what he says. We don't want to be just hearers, but by his grace, put into practice the things we hear. The other day I showed you a picture of Sister Robinson, and we read the little quote from her about the Bible. But I understand she had a faith home in the Midwest, in Zion, Illinois, and missionaries and ministers would come and find help there. They'd go there for refreshing and sit under the ministry of those ministers. But I understand one of the things that she would say to them, just something very simple. I've said it already this morning. She would just say to them, are you doing what he says? Are you doing what he says? And those are so searching. That's such a searching question, because sometimes we can fool ourselves and think that we're okay. And yet, in the light of his word and by his Holy Spirit, we ought to allow him to search our hearts and say, Lord, I want to be pleasing in your sight. I don't want to look into your word and then just turn away and forget what I've heard, not do anything about it. But Lord, I want to do what you require of me. I just want to simply obey your commands. Let's start there. You know, we think, well, I want to do God's will. I want to be this or that. Well, begin with the commands of Jesus. And just say, Lord, I want to please you. But I find I'm not able. You come in, Lord. Fill me with your Spirit. So that I could fulfill in your commands and obey you. And I think as you read the commands of Jesus, you'll see they're very practical. They deal with the way we live, how we relate to one another, how we relate to the world, how we relate to our God. And so let's just bow our hearts this morning. As we heard last night, this is the way of blessedness. This is the way to have God's favor and presence in our lives. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. I'd like to ask Sister Eleanor just to pray with us, pray for us, in closing.
Father, we thank you for your presence here with us again today and every day. We thank you for your word, O God. We thank you that we can learn from your word and the lessons that we've had these days. Make it so real and important to us, Lord, that we will see the necessity of it.
Yes, Lord.
How important it is for us to live for you each day and to know how to live holy lives and to be more like you. And
yes, Lord.
Help us, Lord Jesus, to just take that word and eat it and let it be a part of our lives every moment of the day.
Jesus,
make
Jesus,
it alive within
Jesus,
us, O God.
Jesus.
Your word is life. And so we pray, dear Jesus, that we will have open hearts.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Open minds
hallelujah,
to receive all that you have for us, Lord. Hallelujah. You speak to us through your word. We want to listen. And so we pray, Lord, for one another again today.
Yes, Lord.
Help us
yes, Lord.
To do our very best in seeking after you and after your word, O God. Help us, Lord, each one of us, to know how important it is and how vital it is for us each day to live as Christians, to live holy lives. We pray, God, that you would give us that ability. Lord, may your voice speak to us through your
Yes,
word.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
We thank you for it, O God. We thank you, Lord. It's words of great encouragement, words of great wisdom and how to live. We thank you, Lord. We pray, bless each and every one of us as we look into it more and more, more than ever before. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.